When it was time for Zarathustra to come down from his incel cave, he went to the nearest town. He found the people gathered in the marketplace. They were waiting to watch a tightrope walker, so Zarathustra took this chance to preach to them his new vision for life. Dear people, I am here to teach you about the Ubermensch. Man is something that has to be overcome. What have you done to overcome him? Everything that has lived so far has created something beyond itself. Do you want to be the end of that great flow? What is an ape to man? He is a laughingstock. But that is what man will be to the Ubermensch. A laughingstock, a thing of shame. You see, you were once a worm, but now you are a man. Yet there is much within you that is still a worm. And my great hope is that you overcome that worm when you learn of the Ubermensch. I want you to see that the Ubermensch will give our world a purpose. Let your heart say that our world will not be cast aside, and it will have a purpose. My friends, do not abandon our beautiful world. Do not fall for those who sell you otherworldly hopes. They are despisers of life. Spitting toxic poisons, turning your heart against our world. The earth is weary of them. So forget about them. Let them go. When the earth was in their hands, it was the highest sin to speak against their God. But God is dead, and now it is the highest sin to speak against our world. They taught you to look at your body with disgust, and your soul learned to hate your body. It wanted to destroy it, to make it crippled, ugly, and sick. You believed that that's how you would escape the suffering and pain of your body and of the earth. But you made a mistake. It was your soul that was sickly and crippled, and its cruelty towards the body was its twisted way of finding joy. My friends, we cannot live this way. Our souls are wretched, and all of mankind has learned to embrace this wretchedness. Mankind is a storm of agony and hate. But there is potential in this storm. The greatest moment of your life is the hour of your greatest hate. When even your happiness becomes disgusting to you, alongside all your reason and your morals, when your agony overcomes you, the hour when you say, "What good is my happiness? It is poverty and laziness. What good is my reason? Does my knowledge fill me with frenzy? What good are my morals? They have not made me passionate. They have not filled me with fire and enchantment." Have you ever spoken like this? Have you ever cried like me? If only I could see you when you believed in something. But instead I see you on your knees, praying up to heaven because you think you are a sinner, when you are really searching for a storm to ignite you. So tell me then, when you wail to that world above, where is the lightning that licks you with its tongue? Where is that frenzy that enchants you? I teach you the Ubermensch. He is that lightning. He is that frenzy. The Ubermensch. Was it Nietzsche's answer to nihilism? Was it Nietzsche's answer to the death of God? Or was it Nietzsche's answer to not having a girlfriend? Was it Nietzsche sitting there and fantasizing about this muscular, chiseled, Greco-Roman body, this super charismatic, handsome man who took cold showers every day, drank raw eggs for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? The Uber Chad who could get a GF? The man who could take Nietzsche out of inceldom? The man he could have become if he climbed those mountains more? And the truth is that this Ubermensch idea is the answer to all of these problems at once. It is an answer to nihilism. It is a solution to the problem of the death of God. And it is a way for Nietzsche to get a girlfriend. And it didn't work. So I guess that's the end of the video. We're just going to cut it off there. Nietzsche remained an incel. Why would you even bother reading his books? Why are you sitting around reading the books of an incel who died of syphilis? Explain that to me. You're trying to say that he's crazy. You're trying to say he's the schizophrenic one. You're trying to say, oh, Nietzsche is so crazy. You shouldn't listen to him. You sit around, you read books by a schizophrenic incel. Like, come on, who's the fucking dork here? You're the dork. I'm the Ubermensch because I don't read books. I'm too low IQ. I literally don't have a brain. I don't have abstract thought inside my brain. I don't even use abstract conceptions. I just sit around and life just happens to me. I'm in the moment. You know, you sit there and you read all these books about Buddhism and spirituality and you're like, oh, I'd love to get present. I'd love to be able to sit down. I'd love to be able to sit down and turn off this monkey mind, this conceptualizing, rationalizing mind that just deludes me and leads me to live a life of cope and delusions. I don't need that. I don't have to do that. You know why? I can just sit down and I can just, I don't even have an inner voice. I have no self-consciousness. I'm an NPC. You know, I just sit around and I'm fully present. My brain doesn't work fast enough. When I look at books, it's like, it's just squiggles. There's nothing there. There's no information. It's just all abstractions, all attempts for the demiurge to try to pull me off into this abstract fake world, the platonic world of concepts and ideals. So that you can go and jingle jang all with all the squiggles and all your talk of fucking mathematics and abstract philosophy. I don't need that. I'm just here. I'm just here in the world. I'm just chilling out. I'm just walking around. And I'm like, wow, look at that. There's a flower. That's amazing. There's a bee. Wow, so beautiful. There's a gazelle. Oh, look, there's a person. Wow, they look depressed. Looks like there's something on their mind. Glad I've never felt that before. Glad I've never had to think about that stuff. And me and Nietzsche, we're bros. We're like this. We just sit there. Nietzsche's on the mountains. He probably didn't even know he was writing stuff. He was just sort of squiggling, trying to copy what other people were doing. And it just came out the way it came out. And he didn't even understand what it meant. He was just sort of chilling out and all this type of stuff. And then people read it and they're like, oh, I'm so mad. It's hurting my feelings. Oh, he's going after me. And it's like, no, we were just sort of in the moment, chilling, present, allowing, you know, the collective soul to speak through us. We don't even need an ego or an individuality or even an IQ. We just let the images and the symbols speak through us. This is how it works. This is the way. This is what I'm preaching now. This is what we're doing going forward. This is the way to live, you know? So let me give it to you straight. To understand the Ubermensch, you must understand evolution. We are always changing. We are always getting morphed. We are always getting shaped by the environment around us. In the past, nature put pressure upon us. She chiseled us with cold, with danger, with other animals competing against us, trying to destroy us, other men, other tribes, other nations, trying to break us, trying to annihilate us. Storms, thunder, tides, floods, all this stuff was crafting us, God himself perhaps behind the scenes, manipulating it all to make us stronger. And if we survived, we became better. To survive was to achieve a victory. You have to be strong to survive. But the problem of the modern age, the problem of time, is that times change. And in our efforts to survive, in our efforts to overcome our situation, we overcame nature itself. We overcame challenge. We overcame struggle. We industrialized and created an era of abundance, created a situation where we could all promulgate, we could all grow, we could all go forth and multiply. And this was of course good for us. This was life achieving a great goal through us, the ability for us to just expand endlessly and create billions and billions and billions and billions of people. But there was downsides to this, because this is what it takes to be able to think clearly. You have to be able to see the nuance. You have to be able to see a great trend, a great happening, and see the dark side and the light side. So even though we achieved this victory where we overcame nature, we overcame all the struggles of the animals and we became abundant, we lost that pressure that nature was putting upon us. And no longer could we be crafted by her. All of a sudden, we were soft. We were like the astronaut who shot up into space and was wandering around space like a little spaghetti man, being like, yeah, this is class. I'm so happy. This is chill. Bouncing around on the moon, bouncing around on Mars, if you believe we went there, all that type of stuff. Bouncing around, chilling and all this. And then we come back down to Earth and reality sets back in. And we realize that our bones are weak and we try to stand up, but we're made of cheese. We go, whoop, we get all shorter, our bones break very easily because there was no pressure. There was no gravity imposing its forces upon us. And so we became frail. We became disgusting. We became ugly. And this sets the premise for Nietzsche's big prophecy, the prophecy of the last man. We achieved the great powers in our equality, our liberal democracy, our industrialization, and we created this society that has made us weak and soft. And you've heard this before, our testosterone's going down, oh no, we're all becoming soy boys, everybody's shoving soy down our faces and all this. And this is a very difficult thing to come to terms with, because it's like a trend analysis. It's almost like a god acting upon us. It's so big, it's so ancient, it's so large that it's happening over the course of hundreds of years. And it's very difficult for us to get a grip with it. And we don't exist in this space where we can just wake up to it. It's happened to us. We have all grown up and we have all become the last man to some extent. We've all grown up and eaten the atrazine-filled foods and seen that our jawlines are frail. We look in the mirror and we say to ourselves, why don't we look like Tyler Durden? Why don't we have chiseled jaws? Well, maybe it was because all the milk we were drinking was pasteurized and destroyed. It's all corn-fed milk. So we never got enough K2 inside of our bodies that would have grabbed the calcium out of our bloodstream and shoved it into our jawlines to give us that square jaw, to give us the Giga Chad jaw. We could have been Giga Chads. We could have been that. But that was taken from us. This is what they took from you. This is what they took from you. The Giga Chad jaw. This is what it is. Instead, we become last men. And this is an existential problem for people right now, because we look at ourselves and we see that we are falling, we are becoming weaker, we're becoming frailer, we're becoming more pathetic, and we try to find reasons for this. We try to find an understanding of this. We try to find somebody to blame for this, which is quite interesting. We say that there's people manipulating us and trying to take advantage of us. And I'm sure there are people who are sitting on top of these trends and surfing these trends, maybe even in a Machiavelli way, to gather profit out of it and take advantage of us and fill us full of pharmaceuticals and run a giant soy farm because it makes them loads of money and all this type of stuff. But they're not causing the trend. The trend is bigger than them. This force is bigger than them. This is important to understand. They're opportunists, but they're not gods themselves. They're not people who are sitting up there steering history. That's not how these type of things work. Instead, we're victims to a great, great era. This is our zeitgeist. This is our destiny. This is our great story. And in fact, an awful lot of people get blackpilled to hear about this. Oh, we're all turning into last men. There's no pressure on us anymore. We're becoming frail. We must return Western man. We must become reactionaries and all this. But then they become very depressed. They become very cynical. They look around. They see people getting young boys getting castrated, women getting shoved full of hormones against their will. They see young men becoming frail and weak. They see the madness going on. They get depressed about this. They get angry. They get blackpilled. They talk to people and people are all brainwashed and psyoped by all these type of things. And they're not normal people anymore. They're acting like weirdos. And they get blackpilled. They sit down and they become nihilist. They're like, oh, I don't know a way out of this. I don't know what to do. I'm sad. I'm depressed. There's no future for mankind. We live at the end of the Roman Empire. It's the fall of a great empire. The West has fallen. The West does not believe in itself anymore. And this is all very, very true. I don't know what to do. I'm a jaded, blackpilled, sad man. I don't really know where I fit. I have no purpose or place. It's like that speech from Fight Club. I see in Fight Club the greatest, the strongest men who have ever lived. I see all this potential and I see it squandered. We are the middle children of history. We have no purpose or place. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. This is what sits there. But the thing is that, and this is why I love Nietzsche so much, is that he paints a picture that allows us to seize authority over this situation and see the magic and the wonder and the amazing situation that is in front of us, despite the fact that it's very jaded, it's a slog, it's very depressing, it's very blackpilling. There's always opportunities. There's always ways to take advantage of this stuff. In fact, if you can really just use your imagination to see what is happening, it can bring you great vitalizing joy. It can lift your imagination up and help you see that you live within a great story, a magical story. You live within this period of the last man. You live within this incredible situation in human history that has never happened before. And there must be something around this. There must be an opportunity present here that we could take advantage of. And this is what I want to talk to you about today. If the last man is the consequence of us lacking that pressure from nature and us being too complacent and lazy to do anything about this, us just surrendering to this tidal wave of forces, to this super trend where we have gravity taken away from us, we have these outside acting forces taken away from us, the last man is the evolution, what we're guaranteed to evolve into, because it's a destiny. If you take away this pressure and you just sit and do nothing, you will transform. Over time, entropy will have its force act upon you and it will shrivel you into a little golem, a little Netflix watching petty little golem with no aspirations and no joy and no future. Instead, someone just sits around with petty happiness, stuffing their gullet, becoming a useless eater and just complaining about life, just being, you know, just escaping, distracting yourself, sitting there and thinking to yourself, I cannot wait until this metaverse thing gets up and running, or I can go and I can get robo girlfriends, fake girlfriends. I'm going to buy some type of like plastic suit that I can just, you know, simulate sexual intimacy with and just have live with some girlfriend, an NFT girlfriend or something like this. This is the destiny of someone who runs on the virtue of complacency, the virtue of amateurism, the virtue of laziness. Now, obviously, if you say to yourself, all right, in this situation, What happens if I was to simulate pressure on myself? What would happen if we started to say to ourselves, how do we install pressure? How do we try to take forces and put them upon us? How do we try to transform ourselves? How do we make sure that there's pressure on us so that we actually get stronger, despite the fact that we're in this era that is taking away many of the challenges that were there before? What would happen to us in that case? And of course, nature and evolution don't know the difference. They don't know the difference between something fake and something artificial and something organic and natural. And so if you started to put that pressure upon yourself, your body would react to it. You would transform, and you would transform for the positive. A great example of this is weightlifting, is bodybuilding, because that's a very sort of bourgeoisie modern thing. It's a very post-industrial thing. Before, nobody had to really weightlift in any serious way, because you would be running around on a farm trying to lift up heavy things all day. You'd be chiseled, you'd be jacked. You would have been maybe in an army and you would have had to fight. You would have been an athlete. So many of the pressures that would have transformed your body and kept you healthy and got your hormones firing and got your testosterone up, got all of those things working, they would have happened to you naturally. You wouldn't really have to think about them. They just would have been there. Many of the dangers would have been there. You would have been surrounded by danger. There would have been bandits on every single road. There would have been robbers all the time. You would have had to fight for the things that you gain. Many of the things that you wanted would have been there. Many of the things we're pining for now would have been ever present. And so man wouldn't have had to become conscious of this. And this is what makes our age so sophisticated, is that many of the things that benefited us, we were unconscious of in the past. In fact, we might have even saw them as enemies. We might have saw nature as an enemy, because that's how she presented herself to us. She was dangerous. She was brutal. She was ruthless. She killed loads of us. But now we're starting to see that, despite the fact that she was so severe, she was like one of those, it was like in those films where you go to a martial arts mentor and he's like a dickhead, you know, and he's slapping you with a stick the whole time, and you're like, God, I don't like this dude. This dude's a prick. This dude's making my life harder. But the thing is that he was trying to make you harder as well. He was trying to transform you into something that was severe, something that was harsh. And you start to appreciate him as you grow older. He's a stern parent. And nature was much like this. She was a stern mother. She gave you what you needed. She gave you the spankings when you needed them in order for you to get on the straight and narrow. But now we do not have her. We've defeated her. And we take this attitude towards her, where we have cocked her, we've stomped, put our feet upon her. But yet, nature always has the victory in the end. We are always getting morphed, we're always getting transformed. So what would it mean for us to take responsibility of this? Well, as I said, with something like bodybuilding, you have no pressure, so you go to something like a gym, this made-up place, this fake jungle gym. Literally, you call it a jungle gym to simulate that primal energy. And you go there and you lift heavy circular weights. And it's like, why are you even doing that? What's the point? People sometimes sit down and say, well, what's the point in that? Why would I do something like that? There's no reason. You're not doing anything. You know, you're just lifting weights up and down. It's kind of dull and it's kind of boring. And yes, it is in some sense. You do want to have other things going on in your life. This is true. But it applies force to your soul. It crushes your soul. It destroys your body. It rips your muscles. It puts pressure upon you. When you squat, you have 180 kilograms over your shoulders. Something is happening to you. And your body feels this. And it's so fascinating to study the body, to really become a physiologist. Nietzsche said that he loved physiologists. He saw himself as a member of the new caste of physiologists who were superior to the priestly types of old. Because when you study physiology, you see the natural law of life existing within it and how wise it is. So when you put that 180 kg over your shoulders and you get down and you squat, or maybe you bench press, or maybe you train some other type of function of some sort, what you start to notice is that your body reacts to that just like any other pressure. Your body loves pressure. Your body loves to be stimulated. It's like a poison. You get too much of it, you put like 700 kg, you'll probably just crumple and get squished. But if you put that 180 kg that you can manage, and then you do the squat, and then you come out of it, all these amazing things begin to happen. They begin to transform you. And nature begins to reward you. Your body begins to reward you, make you feel better. You come out of it, and you get this rush of endorphins. You walk out of the gym, and you're blasted off your face. You're like, wow, I feel good. Because endorphins are actually an opioid, like heroin. They're a painkiller. They make the pain go away. They make life more bearable. The body pumps up your testosterone. You get this dose of hormones. Because your body realizes this guy needs to be strong. This guy's a tank. This guy's lifting heavy. He's a warrior. He needs to feel powerful. I need to make him feel powerful. So what she does is your gonads release large amounts of testosterone. Testosterone has all sorts of profound effects on you. You would like to think that you need to sit around like a modern last man and try to think your way out of your problems and go to therapy and read books and stuff like this. But your brain sits within your body. Your brain runs off your hormones. When you're full of testosterone, you think more clearly. You feel less pain. Effort and work and struggle actually feels good. This has been studied. You know, pain and struggle feels good. Can you think of how profound that is? You see all these self-improvers talk about grit and all this. How can you have a problem with grit when you like struggle, when you like stress? This is what testosterone does to you. When you go to sleep that night and you cuddle up, you get doses of growth hormone. Growth hormone causes you to grow and become stronger. It burns your fat and synthesizes the lipids and turns it into lean mass. You become more chiseled. You become harder. You sleep deeper and better. You feel good about yourself. Your metabolism whizzes. When your metabolism is flying, your pituitary is shooting out that thyroid. What happens is you start to get this buzz. And what happens is your mind starts to work. You're more energized. Metabolism is energy. And you start to be more open-minded. You start to think more clearly. You start to think more freely. You start to think more positively and happier. And all these good benefits happen to you. All these powerful things happen to you because you put pressure upon yourself. And this teaches you something profound about yourself, is that if you keep on following this path, you will feel better. You will achieve this nexus of joy within your soul that will make you stronger, make you more vital, make you smarter, make you more intelligent, more clear thinking, all these type of things. This is the big myth that the nerds sold to you. The nerds sat there in their little SaaS tech companies and they're like, how can we scam the world? How can we scam the world? They're like, well, you know, we'll take out the jocks, because in high school the jock took that girl that I liked. And so they say stuff like, the jock is stupid, the jock is unconscious, the jock is unaware. But in fact, the jock is happy, the jock is probably more open-minded, he's full of more life force and energy, he's full of more vitality, he is one favored by nature, and that's a good thing. And he puts himself under stress and pressure. He follows the wisdom of nature. He understands how to overcome himself. He does it frequently. He challenges himself, and that makes him hard. That makes him strong. That makes him better. And nature rewards you further by making you look better. When you go and you put that type of pressure on the gym, you appear as more of a specimen, closer to some type of hidden ideal, some type of platonic dream existing within the unconscious of the species, or deeper than that, existing within the pregnant possibility of nature. Nature loves a winner. Nature loves someone who fights. Nature loves this beauty. And so you go and you go to the gym and you move towards the platonic ideal of a human. You get something like a six pack. We all know that a six pack is great. You get that V shape in your body, or if you're a girl, you get a nice bubble butt in your arse. And this is something that nature sees as valuable. She sees this as a signal of strength and beauty and vitality and virtue. In fact, Plato himself said the trifecta, the link between beauty, strength, and virtue and truth is almost like it's the same thing, basically. They're just three sides to a three-dimensional superordinate astral object of some sort. And when you go and you impose pressure upon yourself that requires strength, you become more beautiful. What a white pill. What a happy thing to see. What an amazing thing to see. Now, you can contrast this with the person who escapes this, who tries to run away from the gym. This is basically just like a really advanced propaganda to make you go to the gym. This is the last man. He loves laziness. He loves complacency. He loves hedonism. He loves pleasure. He's a nihilist. He doesn't believe in the future. He doesn't believe in transforming himself into something higher, because he's good enough as he is. He's perfect. He's the last man. He's happy and arrogant in his narcissism. He thinks, I'm good. I'm a stuffed, happy guy. I have rights. I deserve equal rights because I am what I am. I'm the tub that goes to McDonald's, and this is good. But the thing about this is that if you follow this path, and you see this right now, an awful lot of people are waking up to this. You listen to these people who are slanderers of the healthy, slanderers of the strong, slanderers of the beautiful. You notice with them this decrepitness, this hate for the body. You notice the way that they sit down and they dislike the idea of exercise and challenging yourself, because they see it as, you know, totalitarian, a weird thing to say, or they see it worse as just not cool, or they just don't like it. They try to come up with a rationalization against it. But then you see how this affects them, because of course they never put themselves under these challenges. They smoke a lot of weed, or maybe they eat, you know, fries or something like this, and they don't ever put that pressure on themselves, and so they don't get the benefits of this faster thyroid. So they can't think as fast, they can't speak as fast, they can't articulate them as fast. Their minds are not open to the possibilities of the world. They become ignorant and petty. They become narcissistic, because when you're resentful and in pain and you've never been challenged, you have to inflate your sense of yourself and your ego. You have to develop this big idea of yourself as the specimen, the righteous, the intellectual, rationalized righteousness. And so they become annoying to listen to. They become arrogant in a way that's not grounded in reality. Maybe the guy, you know, who's a sprinter that can run 100 meters in like 0.2 of a second, maybe he deserves a little bit of an ego, because it's earned through long periods of humbling himself before nature. He has learned to obey nature, and now it has rewarded him with strength. Now it has rewarded him with being the chosen one. out of nature. But instead, there's this pettiness, this narcissism, this nastiness inside of them. And of course, it comes with unhealth. It comes with depression. It comes with sadness. It's quite tragic in some ways, because they rationalize against the thing that would save them. They rationalize against health. They rationalize against these great stresses and challenges. And then they don't get any of those hormones. They don't get these hormones that make them look good. They get overweight. And then all these profound things happen in the inverted way. Nature actually punishes them. These great titanic forces, the human nature, what we are, cannot be escaped. Life cannot be escaped. We are life. And this is taken from them. And instead, what happens is their estrogen rises. Their stress hormones rise. They get more cortisol. They develop more fat cells. They store all that excess energy and it goes into turn into blubber. All the atrazine castrates them chemically. And they start to morph. They grow bitch tits. They start to become chubbier, softer. And then all these fat cells start to change their hormones, start to demand that more estrogen is pumped out. They start to get erectile dysfunction. They start to become sad. They start to become ugly. They get that double chin, you know, they get these big dark shadows under their eyes, their skin gets pasty, they're not out in the sun as much because they're sitting under the internet all day writing on Reddit, talking about their theories of life, spreading their diseases, their last man diseases through the conceptions stuck on the long paragraphs of Redditing. And instead they morph into something sad, something in pain, something that is suffering. And then, of course, they begin to project that suffering all onto the world. They say everyone is suffering. Life is suffering. Life is bad. Life is depressing. Life is black-pilled. And then they start to get big ideas about revolutionizing the world. We must change. We must kill all the beautiful and then put us in power and we will fix the world by making it equal so there's no more suffering. But of course, they're just wrong from the start because they don't know how to get rid of suffering because they don't even know what suffering is because all they've understood is suffering. They don't even know what joy and health and happiness is because they're afraid of it and they hate it. And then they get lost in this world of SSRIs. They try to seek towards escapism. They try to escape from nature itself. They develop this anti-life perspective. This shows itself in their rationalizations and their philosophy, the way they talk about the world. They start saying we need to sterilize ourselves. They start saying that we need to stop having children. We start saying that we need to, you know, through the operations of sustainability and through the operations of saving nature, of all things. They're like, I must save nature. Suddenly I care about nature. They start to say that we need to, you know, stop eating foods that make us strong and healthy. We need to banish all this. We need to lock you in your house. This whole idea of health, it's like health and safety becomes superordinate in this twisted, demonic, inverted way. And instead, it becomes this challenge for them to try escape reality in its absolute. I want to go into the metaverse. You even hear this mythology showing up now among the tech heads, the nerds in Silicon Valley, where they're saying, you know, the end game of all this super technological society is that what we're going to do is create these giant vats, these giant big, you know, apartment blocks, like in the Matrix, you know, these giant battery centers. And we're going to pull all these people and put them into this. And they're going to plug their brains via Neuralink in the metaverse. And they're just going to go into this stuff and they're going to leave their bodies entirely. They're going to escape fully. And they're going to upload their consciousness to this centralized artificial intelligence server that we're going to code with our values. And inside this centralized artificial intelligence server, we are going to have this perfect society, this metaverse we create. There will be no nature. There will be no pressure. There will be no challenge. Instead, everything will be equal. Everything will be leveled. Everything will be abundant and everything will be perfect. And all we have to be is these dancing souls of joy and light and pure consciousness. This is what will exist inside of it. And this is us manifesting heaven. This is our perfect escape from the challenge of this life, our perfect escape from the challenge of this world. And you see this psychology ever present, the desire to escape the drama, escape the game, run out of it. And these people and this phenomenon and this sort of specter that's floating over our society, this is what an awful lot of us see. And we become depressed about it. We become demoralized because seeing this actually brings us down. It's very hard to see someone suffering. It's very hard to see golems. It's very hard to see these people and their resentment, their spite swarm over and try to change everything. It's hard when they go after you and try to instantiate their malice and their hate upon your life. And so it brings us down and it makes us black-pilled. It makes us sit there and scratch our heads and be like, what are we going to do? And of course, the answer should be, well, we have to try to think optimistically. We have to look at all these phenomenon and these trends and say to ourselves, what would it be like if things went in a different direction? And what you begin to see when you start to ask these questions and really look at this stuff in a penetrating way and understand that the forces of evolution are are happening to us, and there's no way of escaping this stuff. And you start to learn the importance of humility in thinking, humility in your mind, because you must learn to sacrifice your brain, your conceptions to reality out there. It's such a hard thing to do. It's very simple humility. It's the premise towards wisdom. It's the premise towards insight, is that you need to begin to discipline yourself to things that are outside of you. And an awful lot of these last men, they don't do that. On the very first step, they fuck up. And that's why they have all these elaborate rationalizations that don't lead anywhere, because it's wrong on first principle. There's no good foundations. But instead, if you can say to yourself, in order for nature to be commanded, in order for us to go in the direction that we want to go, which is we want to go to a position of joy and of life and creativity and health. We want to go in that positive place. We want to feel those great feelings. We want to achieve great culture. We want this stuff. And the human spirit does want this stuff. But in order for us to command nature to bring us there, we first must obey her. We first must say to ourselves, okay, well, we must submit to nature. We must say, all right, what is nature's paradigm? What is nature's plan? How has God built this reality? How has it been created? And what are the paradigms and the rules? Now we must bend towards those and ask ourselves, what are the true meaning of those? And at its root, this becomes a profound religious question. When Nietzsche says in this passage, or when Zarathustra says in this passage, the Übermensch shall be the meaning of the earth. The earth is trying to give birth to something. Do you understand this idea? Now think about this in relationship to this gym thing. Okay, so when you go into the gym and you impose pressure upon yourself, the earth rewards you, life rewards you, the life force inside of you gives you all these positive things. And life pushes you towards this vision of super health, this incredible health. And it's very difficult to understand this, but it's almost like life has a desire. She loves strength and she rewards strength absolutely. And if you don't deny that, you get transformed into something smaller. You become Gollum. You start to go down, fall downwards into the last man. And so nature punishes the denial of her principles. She punishes going in the opposite direction. So it's almost like nature has this law inside of herself, nearly a morality. She has nearly a set of values, a way she sees the world that she believes in. And it's not something you can argue about. It's not something you can theory sell about. It's not something you can go on Reddit and write rationalizations about. You can't go up on Twitter and talk about this type of stuff. You can't create it with your words. It's not tethered to the information you spew out of your mouth. That's not how it works. It's built into something deeper than even your words. It's beyond your higher consciousness. It's been there before man was there and will be there after man has been gone. It is something that has existed in the lions. Is it something that has existed ever present in life for all of time? It is like nature is pregnant with this possibility of incredible strength. And if we just kept on listening to what she was saying and following that path of strength, doing the pressures that we needed so that we would transform and morph and grow into something more titanic, more powerful, more incredible, we started to find more pressures. We said, I want to become harder. I want to be a diamond. Pour volcano ash upon myself. Strike me with lightning. I want to see the most insane things happen to me. Maybe we would transform into something more powerful and more incredible. And in fact, now that we have this industrial society that's destroying us in many ways, we also have this incredible opportunity, because we can now harvest huge amounts of energy, huge amounts of abundance. And nature loves energy. Nature loves abundance. And we take all this food. Like, nowadays, we're bigger than we were 300 years ago, because there's just more protein in our diets. Very simple things like this have had very direct effects on us. Things that are not as romantic maybe as talking about big ideas, but actually lead to a tangible change in the quality of our lives. We're taller, stronger, we live longer, we're healthier generally. You know, in some ways we're healthier. We have more potential for health. You can go and if you start to learn about diet, you sit down and you can use science, which is something that has become corrupted by the last man, which has turned into Reddit science. You can actually see behind that also possibility. Science can be harvested and used in order to enhance your vitality, to understand nutrition to a level that has never been seen before. You see all the people using hormones, for example. This is this big trend. It's so fascinating to look at these trends and then look at the shadow and also the possibility to be white-pilled, eternally white-pilled. You see these people using hormones to do hormone replacement therapy and destroy themselves and do it to a young kid, which is horrible, you know, taking someone who's confused, going through puberty and injecting them with hormones, transforming them, doing all these strange things to them. This is quite shocking stuff, and a lot of people don't like it. But at the same time, this intelligence that we have about hormones that modern man has achieved can actually work in the opposite direction. You can sit down, you can study hormone therapy yourself. A lot of people on TRT right now. You can take testosterone if you want. You can become like a massive bull, you know, and you can take peptides and maybe do it in a more conservative way and still get incredible results. This might even extend your life if you do it intelligently, or at the very least, you can just read about good nutrition and good lifestyle and eating habits in order to improve your hormone profile. And then you will grow more powerful and become stronger and become better in a way that we couldn't have done before, with precision that was not available to us before. This is very powerful. This is showing us that we have an awful lot of potential that can be fulfilled. And if we actually listen to nature, these operations that she's built inside of us, and we learn to work in alignment with them, instead of this weird way that we try to just grab them and impose ideology upon them, just shove people into hormone replacement therapy with callousness, with crudeness, with last man simplicity, instead being nuanced and saying, how can we use these incredible potentials to manifest higher power out of ourselves? We can grow into this type of people that might never have been seen on Earth before. This is not something that was available to the people 500 years ago. The great Greeks and the Spartans, the Romans, they couldn't develop themselves. They couldn't transform themselves. They couldn't inject their will into evolution as dramatically as we can. But we have all this science, all this abundance that we can do great things. I'm talking obviously just about the body because it's a very simple thing to understand. But this can go in all sorts of directions. What is Elon Musk trying to do? He's trying to take us to another planet. He's trying to take us to Mars. What would that open up for us? All these possibilities that would happen. Look at what the internet has done for our ability to share ideas. We were stuck within the paradigm of book cope. We had to write to each other for about 4,000 years. This was the darkest period of mankind, the period of pure ideology and dogma, the period of the left brain reigning ascendant over mankind. We're just scribbling all this nonsense on pages, shoving books in our faces, saying books are reality, this type of stuff. But now we've overcome that. We can spread using the power of a word. We can sit down and we can talk to each other. We can run podcasts. Podcasts defeated the book. Film, visuals, video, all this type of stuff is incredible because it allows us to imprint our imaginations at scale in a way that was never seen before. This is only 100 years old. It's incredible. And people obviously say the internet and the media complex and the films and all that is used for propaganda. And that's very true. The last man has his way of getting into all this type of stuff. He runs up there and he says, you know what, I'll run a media company. I'll just make it really shit. I'll just make it the worst. I'll just tell everybody to guzzle down atrazine and then wash it down with some canola oil or something like this. But that doesn't mean that this potential is not there for a positive thing. You see in the internet right now, and this is what's so beautiful about this, is that the explosion of the ability for people to intercommunicate, an awful lot of people just moved out of all the culture stuff and all the political madness, and an awful lot of people just talk about health all the time. There's this huge sort of biohacking, bioharmonizing health conglomerates of people blathering and talking to each other, talking about how to improve themselves, because they're very interested in getting the most out of their bodies and transforming themselves into something more powerful. Now, give us a couple of decades doing this, and we will transform into something incredible. We will become specimens like we've never seen before. We'll be like these people. Did you ever watch the film Prometheus? Eventually, we'll just start, like, you know, what's going to happen with my kid? When my kid comes around, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to be like, all right, you're going on growth hormone, man. It's like, why? It's like, you're going to be 7 foot tall. Like, I don't care what you're saying. I don't care if you like literally start falling, if you literally start caking over because gravity is too strong. Just going to, before your growth plates close, I'm just going to be injecting you just behind your back. Just like, every time you have porridge, there'll just be injections of growth hormone in it to make you bigger. There's all this potential to get the most out of your kids, to transform, make your kids more powerful than you. There's this the potential to even get more out of yourself. And this is going to lead to this long term transformation that's going to make sort of supermen, groups of people that will be specimens. And then what you'll start to see is the incredible, incredible drama of what's happening right now. There's going to be some people who take advantage of this world that sits in front of us and all the possibilities and all the potential that there is. And they're going to start going up. They're going to start using these things in order to make themselves better, stronger, fitter, faster, smarter. What happens when CRISPR starts to come around and people start to use it to improve their IQs and start to say to themselves, how can we expand literal consciousness with the power of our science? They're going to start getting better and more powerful and stronger. And then there'll be people who say, well, I just fucking love McDonald's. I love McDonald's and I love Netflix and I love Reddit. And this will be the ones who go down. This is as Zarathustra said, they're the down goers. They'll begin to descend. They'll begin to crumble. And over time, they will move into the stuff like the metaverse. They'll actively participate in anti-life moralities and philosophies. They'll say, well, I want to castrate myself. I want to eat the least nutritious food as possible, not to have an imprint on the world. I want to suck everything down with me. I'll become this weird totalitarian, psychotic ideologue, try pull everybody down with me, create this sort of living hell to be a part of. I'll be sickly, we'll all be sickly, and eventually, like, many of them will start dying off, and it'll be like, you know, the people maybe who are ruling them, they'll sort of be like Isengard or Sauron, you know, when they start to develop the orcs. The orcs once were elves, did you know that? The orcs were once men, they once were elves, but Sauron took over them and morphed them into the last men, into the golems, into the fallen beings. And this will happen. Some people who don't take responsibility, who don't stand up and launch upon this adventure, launch upon this opportunity and say, what can we achieve with all this incredible stuff? They will get pulled down like gravity, like the ever-present force of evolution will morph them into something horrible, and they will fall and they will lose this great opportunity. Whereas other people will gain it. Other people will transform. Other people will do something profound. They will go beyond man. They will no longer be the same as the people in the medieval times. It was so profound to look through history and see that during history, you had the Greeks, you had the Romans, you had medieval people, but they were all limited. They were limited by the very typical things that limited us in life. They're limited by their lifespans, limited by somewhat potentials, the potential of natural human life. But we are in this position now where we have more. We have this bigger bang that we can achieve. We can go beyond that. There's people now researching life extension technology. There's people now that are researching how to end the problem of DNA transmission. So why do you age, for example? These are things like, if you're not educated in this stuff, you're just not playing the game on a high enough level. The reason why you age is because your body has this, when your DNA is all this information wrapped up. And what your DNA does when it wants to make a cell is it unpacks the coding thing. Your DNA is a book coper as well. You're made of book cope. There's a black pill, I'm sorry to say, but you are a giant wrapped up piece of book cope. And because people can't translate the book properly, like a little monk, like a little dork monkey doesn't translate it properly, that's why you age. So the DNA unwraps itself. I think it uses RNA. You've probably heard of that recently. And it creates this transcription, and then this makes a new cell, and then it does this again, again, again. But of course, if you're stressed or over a long period of time, there's just basically information loss. You start to make things incorrectly, and this is why you age. You know, all the systems inside of yourself, all these hormones that I'm talking about, you try to transcribe the processes for fixing the glands that make the hormones. It just gets weaker, it just gets less efficient, it gets slower, it gets clunkier. So all these things begin to drop as you get to the end of your 20s. All this stuff begins to drop a little bit, and by the time you're in your 50s, it's basically like, you know, it's crashing down and falling down. And this is a very tragic thing. A lot of people say, oh God, what are we going to do about this? But of course, there's people studying this great achievement of science, the study of nature, natural science, and these engineers and these intelligent people, these dudes who just don't care about any of the crazy stuff, and they just like autistically focus on penetrating into nature's secrets. The students of nature, they want to see the revelation of God hidden within matter, hidden within the world in front of us. They just penetrate into this stuff and they figure out how all this stuff works, and they gain for us incredible opportunities. And usually most people are too ideological. They're too much possessed by a herd morality, anti-life morality. They're too much last men to really grasp this stuff. They don't see the potential to allow people to share this and experience the great joy of working with this stuff. Instead, they're small-minded. They're decrepit. But the people who can, they're going to start achieving things like living longer. They're going to living longer and living healthier. They'll be like younger for longer. All these type of things. They'll be smarter, as I said, when all that stuff happens. What's going to happen then? You're going to see a type of person emerge that will be different. They will be like a different species. You will have a large group that are just falling down, and they will be like, it will be like us walking around as men in the plains, in the forest of Europe, and looking at the other animals, and knowing that we didn't know back then, but we know now that we were once them. We were once the same as them, you know, walking around the savannas, walking around Asia, and we're looking at the monkeys in the trees and seeing that they're like us. They've got these hands, they're smart, they're creative, they're funny, they make weird sounds, but we're different. Something happened. There was a divergence at one point, and they sort of got left behind. You know, they stuck in and eating their fruit in the trees. But we went down and we learned how to hunt meat. We learned how to fight predators. We wielded fire for ourselves. We developed the ability to speak. We became profound. We dominated and conquered them. We overcame them and we went a paradigm beyond them. We're so far ahead of them now that we don't even have any hate or resentment towards them. The lowest forms of man treat them with cruelty, and that's a horrible thing. But most of man loves them. Most of man loves with joy to see the apes happy and see the chimps chilling out in, I think, is it Iceland? Or I don't know where. No, I don't think there's any chimps in Iceland, bar maybe the people. Okay, I'm going to have to retract that previous statement about Iceland because I'm fucking terrified that they're going to all hop in longboats when they hear that. I don't know, there's like, 70 of them up there and they're all related to each other, but they'll probably turn around and be like, all right, that's a fight. And they'll come down and they'll just fucking run into Ireland again on their longboats and they'll just annihilate civilization as usual. They'll steal all my books and probably steal all the girls as well, as they always fucking do. So I retract that. The Icelandic people are not chimps. They're giant, big, blonde, illiterate, angry, powerlifting Thor people. All right, fair enough, you can be that if you want. I apologize. Jesus Christ almighty, I'm just sweating in fear here. Like, I'm just like, they're basically, I guess, specimens of the Ubermensch, if you've ever seen them. They're all massive yolks and they eat like fermented shark liver. Like, I don't know, like, I'm trying to help these guys. I'm trying to say, you know, there's maybe more advanced ways that we can develop health and extreme power than eating like rotten shark liver. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe we can just go a bit beyond this type of stuff. You don't have to live in a volcano. That's kind of just crazy if you think about it. But they're like, no, we're crazy guys. I'm like, all right, lads, we're trying our best here. I'm a wise, literate Irish monk. I'm trying to bring you Icelanders, bring you Vikings up on north. I'm trying to bring you into the broader womb of civilization, you know, the womb of Europe, where we actually study literature and we study higher consciousness and thinking. I'm trying to show you the way. You know, this is why I'm saying this stuff. I'm not trying to be mean, please. These are just these funny mouth noises I'm saying is language. It's actually really useful. You should try to learn it with me and get all this stuff sorted out. But back to my point. I was saying that we look at the chimps with joy. We look at these animals and we love them. But the thing is that they're not the same as us. We've overcome them. We've gone beyond them, as I said. And this is going to happen. Like, we're in this position. And it's so calming in some ways to think about this. It's so humbling. It shows you that there's something that you can do. Like, you're in this position in life. And the most important thing that you can do for yourself is say to yourself, what would the future be? Like, how can I have a future? How can I make sure I secure a future full of joy and happiness? I guess if it starts somewhere. A lot of people these days are depressed. A lot of people these days are down. They're jaded. And they have this ideology of pain and suffering. And this is not just a left-winger or right-winger thing that you hear people talk about an awful lot. Because I've spoke to lots of dudes. Literally, like, a message just there now from a guy I used to speak about. And he might have been, you would have called him an awful lot more right-wing than most people. And I remember talking to him an awful lot. And he was very, very pessimistic, you know. He was very jaded, very pessimistic. And it's similar to many people who you might call left-wing in this whole culture war thing. Highly online people reading about the state of the world. And he got into the whole drinking the raw milk thing, you know? And he's done loads of other things as well. But the drinking the raw milk thing changed him. And he actually got his testosterone measured when we were talking. And he got it, like, he didn't tell me. He's only told me recently, but it was like something like 400, you know? And over the last couple of years, he's really worked on this. And he's focused very heavily on this health thing. And it's annoying for people to hear this because they want it to be intellectual. You want it to be a Jungian individuation. You want it to be therapy. You want it to be some type of riddle that you have to solve inside your mind. But your mind is not separate. Your body is where it all happens. And so he goes and he starts drinking cleaner foods. He starts drinking raw milk. He starts eating the eggs and all this type of stuff. And his testosterone goes up to 925 there recently. And of course, it transforms him. People are saying to him, like, are you on steroids? He's happier. He's more assertive. He feels more blissful. He feels more positive, all these type of things. You change as a consequence of this stuff. And your mind changes. And you start to see that Nietzsche says in this beautiful passage, he says, mankind is a storm of suffering. For 2,000 years, we've been educated by the priestly type who used Christianity as this weapon that they would break people down and make them small and sickly. We got morphed and shaped in this way, and we lost touch with these fundamental values. These are sort of like pagan values, pagan perspectives. And I'm not coming at this with some type of abstract ideology about religion. Should we all be pagan? Should we all be this? Instead, I'm talking from first principles. And you see that this perspective of persuading the body, bringing life back to the body is the most important thing to do. It's where it happens. Like, this is what we have to go for. This is where it starts to transform. And your soul, the salvation you're looking for in your mind and in your soul is going to have a huge tether to what you do with your eating habits, your lifestyle habits, your health habits, more specifically about rewarding your body, about working as if you live within your body. And you as an individual, it's going to transform your happiness and your joy. You're going to live better. But then it goes much beyond that. And this is where things become even more interesting, because an awful lot of people will say, well, what, like, you know, I'm just going to fix my body, but what about my purpose? What about the big ideas? And see, this is the thing, is that you love the big ideas because you're stuck in your mind. You're stuck in the platonic rationalizations of a book coper. But Nietzsche, this is why Nietzsche is so genius, is because he's an embodied man. He's a prophet of the body. But he is also a master of the big ideas. He's better than all the other book copers. He's better than them. And he sees bigger dreams than they did. He is prophetic in a way that I've not seen in any other intellectual ever in my life, but I don't read any books, so. And he sees the great horizons that open up when you start to understand this stuff. And so, for example, you look at the situation you're in now and you see this myth that you're living within. You live within a story more interesting than fucking Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones. You live within this profound situation with all these incredible things happening. Like, do you have any idea how hilarious modern society is? Like, there, you know, you look back at the medieval times and you're like, I can't believe they cut people's heads off, you know? It looks so weird. But look at the world you live in. There's people jamming themselves full of hormones, whether they're bodybuilders trying to just turn into like absolute like fucking fridges or something like this, turn themselves into Icelandic people, or there's like people who are doing it to themselves to change their gender. There's so many crazy things happening. There's nuclear weapons in this world. Like, that stuff is just so fucking beyond belief what that is. This power of these tiny little substances packed within a bomb that we can fly over with a plane that just eviscerates a couple of kilometers of square mass with the power of an open sun. It's just so mind-blowing. The internet, I'm talking to a laptop. What the fuck is even a laptop? I'm talking to this magic rock with like silicon patterns within it that grabs lightning out of the sky and holds it in place, that's connected to the wall, shoots it in here, and I shout at the lightning and my voice, my image is transformed into lightning by the magic rock, and then it goes down into the wire, into the nervous system, into this giant collective brain, and then all of you motherfuckers receive it. The lightning, my lightning, strikes you. It's just dazzling. It's just so fucking amazing. It's unbelievable. And Nietzsche sees this type of stuff. And then he goes beyond this and he says, well, here's a big idea for you. Here's something that could give you a purpose. Take away all the abstractions and just think about the process. Think about how things are going to unfold. Think about the story. It's like a story. It's going to unfold. It's going to lead to a dramatic end, a dramatic situation. Some people are going to keep on descending. They're going to become the pod man, the metaverse man, the decrepit man. And they're going to be unhappy. They're going to be trapped. It's going to be horrific. But you can say to yourself, well, what would my future be? How could I ascend? How could I utilize all these resources to bring myself upwards, to transform in a positive way? And it's going to be hard. There are going to be challenges. But what the fuck do you want? You want it to be easy. That wouldn't be a good story. That'd be a boring one. If you die and God says, what do you think about that? And you're like, it was pretty fucking easy. You know, I didn't really have to do much. This is what's going to happen to all the people on Reddit. They're going to die and they're going to go up and God's going to be like, well, what do you think about that? And it's like, well, you know, you just left me inside to play games all day. It was like, no, you did that. And he's like, well, why didn't you tell me to go out of it? It's like, I literally built churches everywhere. I possessed Nietzsche with schizophrenia. I had Steph ranting on the internet. Like, everybody was telling you to get outside and not go into the metaverse. And you just did it anyway. And it's like, well, it's your fault, God, because, you know, they haven't resolved the resentment towards their dad, even in the afterlife. And they just project it on the God. And God's just like, just fucking send him to Satan. Like, I just send him down there. Just hit the Peter, pull the latch, and it's like, ka-ching, trap door, boom, they fall down. They're like, oh fuck, I'm an Icelander. Oh my God, I gotta stop slagging the Icelanders. They're just, I can hear the horns, you know, like, you know, their music is just like, brrr. They're just playing Led Zeppelin. So probably the only song, the only bit of culture they listen to is just the immigrant song with Led Zeppelin, like, da. Sailing around Ireland, you know, everybody would be looking at Russia and Ukraine, and then you'd be like, what? There's another war going on in the far west. Oh my God, what's happening? So yes, so this is a big deal. You have the potential to set your children up for generations, to see them transform and go beyond man, to become something bigger and more powerful. And this is really what the Übermensch is about, is understanding that pregnant within nature is this desire for strength. And that desire for strength, that the fulfillment of that desire for strength is rewarded with beauty and rewarded with joy, rewarded with ecstasy and vitality, rewarded with all the good things. All the good things come from following this in your individual life. Your Ubermensch in yourself that you can achieve, your potential that you could achieve is high. Now take this to a group. Take this to a lot of people who get together and start to work together to try to fulfill this. Because we all need each other. If we're going to produce these incredible tools of science, we need people. We need the guys who are like crazy and hyper-focused and autistic to sit down and study these phenomena. We need to reward them. We need to give them their space. We need to let them do what they want to do. If we're going to have the farmers that are going to produce the food, we need to give them dignity. We need to give them space. Everybody needs to work as a team towards this type of stuff. We're all caught in this together. I want to live well, so I want to see these people successful and happy. I don't want to slander them. I don't want to call them kulaks and try to take all their land. I don't want to impose, you know, all these crazy mandates upon them to try to destroy their livelihoods. Instead, I want to see them empowered so they can produce for us excellent powers, vitality beyond anything we've ever seen before. And what happens is we all work together, and then we can see this potential rise in generations, the nature through us, beyond the individual, through the species, through the tribes, through the groups, through the intelligent who gather together. They start to manifest higher levels of beauty and strength, higher levels of possibility, and a higher potential keeps on getting fulfilled. And then our children have more potential than we did. They have a higher ceiling they can reach. And then boom, they become a bit taller and a bit stronger and a bit smarter and a bit freer and a bit more creative. And they start to produce culture that's even more interesting than ours. Because what we're seeing now is the children are going down. You know, they're going from listening to classical music 200 years ago to now they're on TikTok just sitting all this stuff. I'm there as well. I'm there pumping stuff out there because I know this is where the game is at. But you see that down going, and that's not normal. That's a modern phenomenon. Back in the day, children used to read novels. They used to go to listen to these classical things. Mozart was a little kid when he was producing all his type of stuff. You could see this inside of them. Children aren't stupid. This whole idea of the generations being dumb, this is a consequence of the last man's system of running society, of sticking them all in the education system, of scaling things in an unintelligent way. It's one of the shadows of this potential. Just like I can speak to you through the magic rock, people can also use this magic rock to manipulate dopamine. This is just the way the world works. And you must be able to grip all these types of things and see the positive side of it. I want you to be white-pilled is what I'm saying. And then you can think of a possible set of children that will be a little bit better, a little bit stronger, and then roll that out 100 years, maybe 200 years. And what you have there is a potential that has maybe might not even have a ceiling. It might be exponential because the power of these tools is incredible. Maybe we live 150 years. We actually pull it off and we do extend our lives a little bit on average. And then it goes to 200 years, maybe 250. Now, at that point, you're living a quarter of a millennium. Those people will have incredible success. Imagine if their youth lasts 3 decades, 4 decades, 5 decades. Like, what could they achieve at the peak of their vitality, the peak of their creativity? What happens if their intelligence expands? What happens if they start to create infrastructure that goes beyond all this type of stuff? There is a shot at this. This is really here. This is the most positive and powerful thing ever. This is incredible. You should be screaming with joy that this is there. But the problem is that, like, and this is part of the drama, is that there's people around that just don't see this stuff. They're too close-minded. They're too caught up with the inflammation of the seed oils and the McDonald's and the ideology to be able to see these potentials. They want to castrate it, strangle it in its womb. They don't want to see these type of things manifest because they resent, because they're full of anger. They're full of resentment towards possibility. They are suffering and they want to bring the whole world down into the schizophrenia of their suffering. And they're a legitimate danger. There's something that the people who are going to lead to the Ubermensch have to be very fucking serious about, because they're going to hold them back. They're going to hold it down. They're going to restrict your possibilities. They're going to damage our potential for the future. They are malicious and they are petty. And this is real. Like, look at what happened with Rome. Rome was on the ascendant path. Imagine if Rome started to industrialize. Imagine how different society would have been. It didn't, but it could have. You never know. Maybe it was only a while off. Who knows? But whatever happened is the callousness and stupidity of its leaders, combined with the confusion of the masses that were there, stirred up into the resentment that led to it imploding. And then it fell into a dark age. And then that was the end of that for 1,500 years until we find ourselves in nowadays. And is that what the story is going to be? Is it going to be the same thing where this bubble of potential happened? And all that will remain from this is maybe some people half remembering the possibility, but it won't be fulfilled for another 2,000 years? Or is this the moment where man takes off? Is this the moment where we reach escape velocity? Is this the moment where we shuttle upwards and we start upon that path where we do begin to evolve? We do begin to take steps forward. We begin to transform in a profound way. We begin to achieve something incredible. We begin to lift up the creative potential of mankind. We begin to fulfill possibilities in our imagination that were only dreams, fantasies to people of thousands of years before. That we might eventually appear like the gods that the people in the past used to interact with. We could become something like this. God knows the potential. You don't know. You can't be small-minded about this stuff. You just simply don't know. The modern world is weird enough, and you still have room to be small-minded. It's ridiculous. The potential is profound. It should shatter you. It should be religious in its conception, in its width, in its hope. It's the biggest thing ever. You're in such a great time. It's hard to describe to you. But I see so much blackpilling. I see so much depression. I see so much struggle. And in some sense, conquering that depression in yourself is the test run you can do for this stuff. Because when you do this, it opens your eyes. I took this stuff very seriously. I was a sickly person. I had eczema running down all of my legs when I was younger. I was going into all the doctors and getting all the crap that they were teaching me. I had all these, I've all this stuff where they were pouring creams on me that was destroying my immune system and stuff like this. For years I struggled with these type of things. I was sickly, I was jaded. I know that I lost an awful lot of potential because I was eating all these crappy seed oils. Dad used to cook in sunflower oil. That was something that I had to talk to him about in the 20s to try to solve. Eating all the pasta, eating all the breads and all this type of stuff. I was poisoned just like all the rest of us, you know, and I wasn't even that bad. And I was struggling when I was in college and stuff like that, struggling with black moods, depression, being jaded, slow metabolism, not understanding what's wrong with myself. And eventually I just had to get serious. Eventually I had to listen to my body. I didn't have stuff like the magic tablet telling me what to do. Instead, I just had to notice that I'd eat certain things and it'd make me feel fucked up. And I was spending long days not going to the gym and I'd feel jaded and all this. And then I started to transform. I started to go and learn to fight. I started to go and learn to lift. I started to do these type of things and it had an effect upon me. It made me better. It made me stronger. It made me happier. It made me healthier. And this set the tone is what I saw. I saw that this was a way to transform. This is a way I take authority over my life. And it goes beyond that. Once you achieve that, everything changes for you. And you can see that the Ubermensch achieved in yourself also gives you a path towards the future. And so again, to summarize, what all this comes down to is the big idea that evolution is active. It's not something that turns off and turns on. We can't think our way out of it. This is the operation of the world. The world is this transmorphing samsara of ever-blending forces, marrying together, swishing around, swish-swashing around in this chaos and this confusion. And forms are dying and being reborn constantly. Things are eternally progressing forward. And things are changing and shifting and transforming. And these forces are competing with each other. They're clashing against each other, trying to rise and to fall and going through all these unconscious cycles. And this is a very nonsensical place in some sense. Like the Buddhists would literally say this samsara that we live in is hell itself. And you should be very wary about engaging with it. And Nietzsche takes this different approach. He sort of says that this twisting and morphing samsara is unconscious. But that doesn't mean that it cannot be understood and then directed, cannot be shuttled towards something that is ideal and beautiful. And what we see happening is this very, very same process. We live right now through this period where the samsara is shifting and we are evolving and this great benefit, this great progress of the Industrial Revolution rose up. But despite itself, it's sort of got this counterbalancing force inside of it that's pulling it back down. It's transforming us into the last man. And what would it take in us for us to start to become aware that all we need to do is to start to make choices? We have this opportunity to start to make decisions. Our ability to say to ourselves, right, how do we start taking steps forward that are going to make us evolve into something stronger, more vital, bigger, more profound, take us to a next paradigm, a next level. This limitless thinking. You see this an awful lot in the progressive types, you know. It's so interesting to see that the discourse is split up between progressives and traditionalists or conservatives, because many of us sort of grew up as progressives. We saw that the way that the world was progressing was good. Everybody got on board with this, the nihilistic, atheistic 1990s Generation Xer and millennial and all this. And this is the values that we held, and we were moving away from the restrictions of the past. No more sexual morality, no more church, no more anything really. Like, you're just sort of free to become whatever you want. And this is progress, and technology is going to empower our imaginations to be as free as we want. And this is true liberty achieving its end goals. And of course, people would, you know, people would sort of be like, liberalism is transforming us all into cattle. It's transforming us into something horrible. People wake up to the blue-haired harpies. They wake up to people who they see who are sickly. They see the last man. They're like, I don't like that. I'm going to go back. I'm going to return. I'm going to go back and try to turn into something that I can conserve. I'm going to become traditionalist. At least that is vital for life. At least that is proven that it works in the realm of life. And that's fair enough. I understand why people do that stuff. But then you see with Nietzsche a sort of anti-progressivism. He's pushing forward because he says there is no going back. The only way out is through. The only way forward is to continue along with these processes and understand that the reason why things have changed is not because a load of weird Redditors got together and decided a new set of morals and a new way to figure out the world. Instead, the world is changing and they're changing with it, and they're not really aware that the world is acting upon them. They are getting morphed by the situation. They're getting morphed by circumstances as much as everybody else is. And it only takes a few of us to turn around and say, all right, well, I'm going to leap upon circumstance. I'm going to understand. I'm going to humble myself, obey circumstance, and then transform and see what direction I can go. There is no going back. He says in Twilight of the Idols, morality is a Procrustean bed. It is something that you tether people to without any understanding of the nuance of the situation. A Procrustean bed comes from Greek mythology, where they got this guy, I think he was a god or something like that, or a titan maybe, and they stuck him on this board because they wanted to get him to fit on this big, you know, basically this bed, this big plank, this big board. And he didn't fit, you know? And so they're like, that's a problem. We need this guy to fit. So what they did is they sawed off his foot and his leg, and they sawed off one of his arms to make sure that he would fit onto it. So clearly it's like he obviously didn't fit. They just wanted to break him in order to make him fit. They're trying to force a square peg into the round hole is the way that you could think about this stuff. And you see this, that it's like, I want to go back to 15th century Christianity. It's like, you don't live in that time. And then you have the progressives who's like, I want to completely deny reality and go into the metaverse. And you're just like, you don't live in the metaverse. There's this real world right in front of us that you can engage with, that you can find and see that if you engage with nature properly and you marry with her and understand what she's looking for, you get filled with vitality. You get filled with all these beautiful things. And it comes down to your individual choices. How you live your life specifically will align you with what's going on there and watch you turn into something stronger and better and healthier in the long run. That leads to the ascendancy of man instead of the scary problem that seems to sit in front of us, where most people can only see man falling. Now, one of the harshest things about this is that you're trying to fight to give your son or your grandson or your great-great-grandson the privilege of not having to improve themselves, of not having to go through all these processes where they have to figure out schizophrenically what's going on and break the psychosis and break themselves free and figure out how to improve themselves. You don't want them to be in that position because that's a defensive position. When you're working to try and make yourself better, someone has failed you. Your father has failed you. Your grandfather has failed you. Your culture has failed you. Because when you were young, you should have been taken in and transformed from the very beginning. You should have been crafted and made into a savage, released upon the world as vital and full of energy as you possibly could. This is what you were supposed to have happen to you. This is what education was supposed to do for you. It was supposed to develop your mind and your capacities to their highest level. The Greeks used to refuse to let slaves go to the gym. Do you understand what that means? Do you really think clearly about why it is a privilege to be able to improve, to be able to develop yourself? They used to take it very seriously when they'd have their kids and their children. They would teach them the arts of speech. They would make them all musicians. They would show them how to lift. They would make them strong and healthy. They would teach them war. They would teach them philosophy, articulation. They would get the best educators for them, because this is how you make these people get beyond everybody else. This is how you make your children more likely to be successful. Education is the key. And it's these type of decisions that matter. And the whole modern world is built on all these stupid premises where people just fell for this idea that people are going to educate them right. We're going to have this mass education thing and everybody's going to get it for free and it's going to be fair and equal. But none of that played out. All of us, when we go through the education system, it's just state propaganda that doesn't teach us any skills. This is my struggle as well. Inside of me, I had that aspiration to become the best version of myself. My desire to pursue this Ubermensch path and my desire to contribute towards society, to push it towards a giant Ubermensch path as well. But instead, all all of that stuff was taken from me, despite my good desire, despite my very naked and innocent, young, childlike want to be better and do something great. It was never really, you know, there was never water poured in that plant. I had to go figure it all out for myself. I go into the education system, the thing that you trust, the thing that you pay for and expect them to help you, and they miseducate you. They sit me down, they teach me Marx, they teach me Judah Butler, they teach me critical theory. None of the stuff that I need to learn, none of the stuff that is going to make me better. They don't teach me how to speak better, they don't teach me how to read the Western canon, they don't teach me how to write, they don't teach me how to get in shape. I have to figure all these things out for myself. This is why I dropped out. I had to go and say, or I have to learn about finances myself, I have to learn how to speak, I have to learn how to get myself out into the world, I have to learn how to lift, I have to learn how to fight. I had to go figure all of that stuff out for myself. I had to make all these really hard decisions and break the trend and go my own path and find people to teach me this type of stuff. And this is the heroic struggle right now. It's an annoying one, because it would be better if this struggle was, we are going out and fighting great wars, we are going out and fighting great fights, like some type of epic period in history. But right now, this is our myth. This is our situation. We're breaking through a spiritual war, a war of nihilism, a war of degradation, a war of laziness, the last man war, where everything is all about being mediocre. Everything is getting pulled down into ideology and denseness. It's a dark age. And your ability to burst out of that and become someone who can break free from this is historically relevant. This is something that can break the trend. This is something that can send you on an ascendant direction. So this is your prerogative. This is the most important thing for you to do. You must continue ubermensch maxing, transforming yourself into the best version of yourself you possibly can be, and keep fighting all the way to the very end so you can set your kids up, unify with people across the world, and actually get in order so that everybody can push towards these high goals and these good aspirations in the future. Because this is the only way that this is going to work. You need to get people together focused on becoming the best that they possibly can, and working on organizing and focusing on these type of things, so that you have an elite power that is moving forward, that is going to give the earth a destiny and actually manifest these values and see something life positive, creative, and culturally significant appear in the future once again. And what's so beautiful about this is it all depends on you making your life as powerful and full of happiness and creativity and joy and sex and fun as you possibly can. All that stuff is good. All those desires that you have, you go fulfill them. You need skills to fulfill them. It will bring out the best in you to fulfill them. Your desire to win and to succeed, all of that is correct, and you just need to pursue that stuff. So if you have that mindset in place where you understand that this is what needs to happen, you need to develop the best part of yourself, manifest the best you can out of yourself, and learn the best skills, then you are on the right path. You've got your mindset in the right place, and all you need to do is do the work. Now, if you want, you can come in and I will train you on how to get a certain set of skills. For example, I'm very good at speaking. I know an awful lot about how social media works. I know an awful lot about how to get yourself out there, how to work on your mindset and understand how the world works with storytelling, how important that is, how important this skill is. Obviously, I'm someone who's read books my whole life. Jokes, I've never read books in my whole life. I'm somebody who is a good writer. I'm a good reader. I'm good at articulating myself. I'm good at presenting myself. I understand the modern media as it is and how to take advantage of it. I understand how to overcome many of the mental problems we have where we doubt our own stories and we don't know how to put ourselves out there, and instead take that stuff and transform it into an asset where you can go out and start presenting it to the world. I understand that storytelling and speaking is a phenomenal skill. It's not the only skill you need to learn. You need to go in and lift weights. You need to learn about nutrition. You need to do all this type of stuff. But right now I'm big on storytelling. I see it's a transformative thing that you can use. I understand that psychology is a profound skill that an awful lot of people who follow me study. And if you can learn to apply that in a pragmatic way, it is completely transformative. CEOs of business focus on psychology all the time. This is one of the main things they think about. Super rich marketers think about psychology all the time. Great writers, great artists, they think about human psychology all the time. They think about stories that match this type of psychology. All these skills, when you go into college, you learn about psychology, it's all like dork shite that does not work. But actually, these things are the keys to some of the greatest powers in the whole world. This is some of the most profound stuff that you could possibly learn. So if you want, I'll be able to train you with it. Train you in this. Just like I had to learn it by myself, you can come with me and I will help you skip the steps and show you everything I've learned in a concise way. Now, if you want to find out more about this, I have a set of videos that explain a variety of different ways that you can apply this, a variety of different frames and angles that you can approach life with psychology and storytelling. So you can sign up down below, just apply. We'll set you up with a call with one of my boys, and then you'll get all these videos sent to you for free that you can sit down and you can watch, and it will teach you about various ways that you can apply this stuff that you can think about. So I'm going to leave it at that, because this is probably about 7 hours long at this point. Maybe not seven, maybe a little bit less than that. But it's long. I don't want to make it too excessive. I want you to get right to the jugular. And as I said, pop down below and we can make all this stuff real and actually get you proper transformations. And I hope you enjoy your path, and good luck on your path towards becoming the Uberman.